So if you do not know our teenagers at Polaris, I encourage you to get to know them. This is a generation of young men and women that care deeply about others. It's amazing to see them just go outside themselves and know a desire to care and love for others, probably more than any other generation I've seen. And it's neat because I've been doing this for a long time now. And it's so awesome to see these teenagers do what they do. And so I encourage, if you do not know any teenager in this group, get to know them. It is worth your time because they are amazing young men and women. I have had the honor of seeing Michael and Jake grow up, and it's just been really cool to be one of those. Like, I always thank our parents for allowing myself and our leaders to just have like a small little voice in their kids' lives, but it's such an honor for us to be a part of that. So thank you for all the parents who have kids in our youth group too. You guys are amazing. So this is Christmas season. And during this time of year, we hear all kinds of different words that are said, you know, love, you know, hope, and of course, peace. And we're going to talk about peace today. Before we get into the message, back when I was a sophomore in high school, I had the honor to do something that a lot of you maybe do today. I got to go Black Friday shopping for the very first time when I was a sophomore. Now, back in my day when I was doing that, we didn't go online shopping, and you definitely, there was no shopping on Thursday of Thanksgiving. Everything was done as early as possible on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so I have vivid memories of that very first Black Friday experience. And, you know, we had to get there at 3 in the morning, and my mom's not a planner, but when I really want to do something, I'm a big planner, so I had everything planned out. We're leaving the house at this time. We're going to get in line at this time, and this is what we need to do. This is where we need to go. And so we get in line. It's 3 in the morning, and it is cold, one of the coldest nights I remember as a teenager. And they were so nice and let us into the lobby of the Walmart in Strongsville. Now, I am excited. I'm a Christmas-aholic. I'm ready to roll. Christmas music is playing. It's joyful and triumphant. And I see the faces of the employees of Walmart. And it was a little concerning because it wasn't excitement. It was like anticipation of something's about to happen. And I'm standing next to this very, very nice little lady, and she's singing the Christmas carols like, this is wonderful. And the stroke at 4 a.m., I understood why they had those faces on the employees of Walmart. As she pushed me, the little nice young old lady, as hard as she could, I didn't go anywhere, but pushed me as hard as she could to go get her thing. And I was like, oh, it is on, let's go. And I learned that peace and Christmas sometimes don't go hand in hand. But all jokes aside, this is the time of year about peace. As we talk through the Advent calendar, but if we're really honest with ourselves, peace isn't everywhere, especially at stores and at, you know, parking lots of a mall. But peace, they're not in our home sometimes. Whether it's finances that have given us stress, maybe it's, you know, a marriage relationship that's just going through some tough times. Maybe it's because Uncle Bob's coming in 2 weeks before Christmas and you didn't invite Uncle Bob to Christmas anyways. But yet there is no peace in the household. Maybe there's frustrations when it comes to your kids. This is the end of the school term coming up, and I know there's papers and finals, and this, the anticipation of Christmas has made your children probably like turn their brains off, and so the past couple weeks have been rough, and you know the next 2 weeks are going to be even more rough, and you're like, I have no peace at home right now with my children. Maybe it's the office. You just know there's something not right. The company isn't going the right direction. There's a stress as you walk through the doors, and you just don't feel that peace going to work every day. This time of year, when we hear the word peace, peace for all of us have different kinds of meaning. For some of you, peace for you means that everything's going to be fine, that there's going to be no problems at work, there's going to be no problems at home, no fighting with your spouse, no conflict in the community. For you, that's what peace means. For others, peace means that everything's going to go your way. You're going to, you know, get every green light to work. You're going to have every opportunity to do what you want to do. And when that happens, peace is possible. Maybe for some of you, peace is about relationships. If your relationships are fine, you are at peace. And so often what happens to us with this word peace is the idea of peace is connected to our circumstances. But if we're honest, if that's our definition of peace, there's not much peace in our world right now. Because so often, if we think about our past week, our past month, this past couple years, have we felt that peace in our relationships? Has things gone our way? No. And so the question I wanted to ask is peace even possible? The kind of peace that we sing about here on stage, or we hear in a Christmas carol as we're driving to or from work, or to or from our kids' next event. Now, I'm here to tell you, yes, absolutely, peace is possible, and peace is something we can gain, but maybe not the way we think of it. And so we're going to kind of dive into a little bit of the Christmas story this morning. We're going to talk about how peace can be yours despite your circumstance. But before we get into the story, I love the idea of history, and I believe that if you want to go deeper in your faith, know what's going around within the context of Scripture. So I love to know the history of what's happening, what was going on in the midst of this thing being written. And so I encourage you, if that's something you want to dive into, there's all kinds of tools out there for you to use to help you get that history side down. But kind of want to give you a background on what Jesus was walking into or being born into that first Christmas. And so when Jesus was born, he was born into the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire was massive and vast, and they were the place to be. If you wanted anything that was popular, anything that you wanted to get done, it had to come from Rome. The standards, the trends were set in the empire. They had amazing art, amazing architecture. They did a lot of good things throughout the world at the time. They wanted to be the ones and the top dogs, and if you wanted to be cool back in Jesus' time, it had to come from Rome. The problem was their leadership. Their emperor that Jesus was born into, the Caesar, was not a good guy. His goal in life was to keep power. Actually, he was known, Caesar Augustus was known as the Caesar of peace. Now, like I said, we think of peace in a certain way. Caesar's idea of peace was to conquer his enemies and then hold on to power any means necessary, which usually means someone's going to die. On top of that, he would put these kings in place because the empire was so vast that he had to put these kings to kind of keep control of things. And one of the kings he put in the area of Israel, where the Jewish people were at the time, was a guy named King Herod. Now, King Herod was a psychopath. Let me explain why. He, once again, wanted all the power, wanted to keep the power, and so what he did was he did everything he could to crush any kind of revolt, anything that was spoken even against him. He put people to death. He put people to torture. His goal was to hold on as much as he can, and he was not a good guy. And in some ways, he was kind of this evil genius, because on top of that, he had a deal with the leadership of the religious leaders, and that deal was, hey, I'm going to make sure your temple looks nice. I'm going to make sure you have your festivals. I'm not going to get away with the things in your way, the things that you want to get done. But if you even think about revolting, you're in trouble. And so he would put taxes on the people. He would put people in prison. King Herod was not a good man. And yet, this is the world Jesus is born into. Kings, a foreigner coming through and ruling his country. And there he is. And so the day Jesus is born, the shepherds are in the field at night, and the angel of the Lord's come and says this amazing thing to these shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says this. The angels say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." And then the angels come down and they sing this amazing praise in verse 14. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests." There's that word again, peace. A promise. A promise from these angels who came down to talk to these shepherds. And then back in that time, the shepherds were the least of these when it came to the world. And yet that's who they chose to come to. And it said, this great peace is about to come to you. Now, if you were a Jewish person at the time, you would have understood that phrase because you would have understood the prophecies. Well before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's that word again. The idea of peace and God and his son is connected. So much so, before he was even around, the prophets are talking about him being a Prince of Peace. The angels sing about peace, and yet, when you look at the life and the world that happens even after his birth, it is so far from the idea of peace. See, after King Herod dies, the next king comes in, and he's just as bad and just as evil. After the Caesar passes away, the next Caesar comes up, and Tiberius is, like, brutal. He builds prisons and torture chambers and all kinds of things so he can hold on to his power. There was no peace on earth that they expected. So what happened? Were the angels just like joking? Hey, sorry, we didn't really mean that. Did they lie to us? No. The thing is, Jesus brought a peace that doesn't change with our life circumstance. Jesus brought a peace that doesn't change just because the world is not exactly the way we want it to be. Jesus came to this world and said, listen, I'm going to bring you a peace that's going to be with you and in you no matter what you're going through, good or bad. That this peace is going to be upon you and it's going to happen right here, even though your world may be falling apart. See, Jesus redefined so many things when he was on this earth. When he came to this earth, he didn't just come here just to be a king and rule with an iron fist. He came to do things and change things forever. He turned the world upside down. In fact, this is what he also says about peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says to us, peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. See, Jesus was talking about an internal peace. Jesus was talking about a peace that no matter who's in power, who's in charge, no matter what your financial state looks like, no matter what your health is like right now, that peace doesn't change. Jesus is talking about a peace that is not based on what we see and what we experience. And the amazing thing about this peace is it comes from a God that is never changing. See, our God is the same God that was around when Jesus was born. Our God is the same God that was around when thousands of years into the past, when you had Adam and Eve and Moses and all those great stories. He has not changed over the centuries. And if he doesn't change, then he says promises doesn't change. That we can have that peace no matter what we're going through, what we're facing, and even if it almost feels like the world is about to end. It's because of Jesus. Peace is possible no matter what is happening in your life and to you in this moment. Now, this is all well and good. But how do we do this? How do we engage this peace in our life today? Not just at Christmas time. And Christmas is the easy time because we talk about it a lot. But throughout the year. I want to ask yourself a couple questions this morning. The first question I want you to wrestle with. Where in your life does peace not feel possible? We can all take a moment and think about our own lives right now. Maybe it's health, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's work, maybe it's just you're just going through a funk right now. And you just don't know where you're going to find peace in these situations. Maybe for you, you are really struggling at work. There is just something about going to work and you go in and you pull in, and you're like, another day, huh? Now, I had a job before I was in ministry. And I just could not stand that job. Like, it was one of the worst jobs I ever had. And I would get to, I played football in high school and college. I was an offensive lineman. And if you are a former offensive lineman, you know there's a rule. The rule is that if you want to be on time to practice, you have to be early. If you are on time to practice, you're actually late. And if you're late, you might as well not even show up. And so that was like built into me throughout my developmental years. And so as an adult, like, I'm notoriously early. I will sit in a parking lot for 30 minutes just to make sure I am on time. This is how I am. My wife has to go through that journey with me. But I had this job, and I would pull into the parking lot, up to the driving area, and I would just sit there and go, five more minutes, 30 seconds. And I would just be anguish going into the office. Some of you know that feeling. You just, you're done. Or maybe there's so much pressure on you right now that you just don't know which way is up. And the idea of peace in your office is so foreign right now, and you're scared what that might mean for you and your family and your financial situation. But here's the thing, when Jesus is our center, when Jesus is our Savior, that internal peace kind of kicks in. That even though you're going through something at work that isn't great, you can feel that peace that Paul promised us that surpasses all understanding. It's supernatural. So maybe for you, even though the office may be chaos, there still could be peace. For others, it's a health situation. Between the COVID virus and cancer and all kinds of other issues health-wise, we have family members, we have friends, maybe ourselves going through a difficult time with our health. And I know how hard that is. No, going to see someone in a hospital is heartbreaking. Not being able to see somebody in the hospital right now is heartbreaking. Having to watch someone go through something that you can't help them with, and you're like, where is their peace? The beauty of this Jesus story is that in the midst of all that, we can have the peace and the knowledge and know that he would calm our hearts, give us guidance, and be with the doctors who are helping your family and friends out. Maybe it's just your relationships. Your marriage isn't batting 1,000. Your friendships with your children are struggling. Maybe it's just your friends in general. Maybe you're about to go to have Christmas dinner here in a couple weeks, and you can't wait for the family to come on in and bring all their stuff with them. What a wonderful time of year. You sit around a table and you hear your grandfather talk about politics, because that's wonderful. What a great time of year to argue over who has the best meatloaf. It goes on and on. Sometimes you're like, where is the peace in the season of peace? And yet Jesus is there. We seek him out. We have that peace in our heart, and you can feel it. The closer I've gotten to my Savior, the more that is so true. The closer I've grown in my faith, that is such a true statement. I've been at grave sites and felt his peace. I've been by my grandfather's side as he was dying, and I've had peace. I've been at weddings, and there is so much peace. That peace is there for us. So where in your life do you don't think it's peace? And the second question I want you to wrestle with, what can you do? What can you do to bring that peace that Jesus promises to your life? The beauty about this journey with Jesus, it's not a passive thing. I tell our students all the time, I go, if you think coming to church is just all you got to do as a Christian, it's one of the check marks, sure. But you have to be active in this faith thing. If you want your faith to go to the next level, you have to do something about it. It can't just be, hey, I'm going to sit here and listen to a guy talk. It has to be more. And for some of us, it's getting into the thing called Scripture. You want to give a gift. You know, giving a gift of peace is important, but giving a gift of the love of learning to read God's Word to your sons, your daughters, to your family is such a huge gift. Make it something that is a routine every day, just to read a little bit of Jesus' Scripture, because I guarantee you it will make your life better. Even those who wrestle with the idea of faith and God, there is such an amazing story, amazing peace that comes from that Scripture. Make it something to get in routine of. Maybe that's what you need to do to start your peace. Maybe for others, it's time to start just being that agent of peace at work. Is work stressful right now? Absolutely. But you can be the person who goes past that stress and bring peace to others and talk to them and be the light to the people who just desperately need to hear someone have a calming voice. Maybe the most important place that we need to wrestle with peace is with ourselves. Whether that's a sin, whether it's something that we've said, something we've done to us. We are not at peace with ourselves. And when we are not at peace with ourselves, it is so difficult to have peace everywhere else. I encourage you, this is the time. This cross stands for peace. This cross stands for taking that burden off your shoulder. This cross stands for the love of Jesus that will bring you the healing you so desperately need. Give yourself the gift of peace this Christmas.